Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. That's where my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Rabbit
That's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man. Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan. And I didn't choose to rap. He just fell into a backup plan. So
yeah.
Let go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When he looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Tuesday, October the 27th, I think. Yeah, Tuesday, October the 27th, 2015. And the time is 12 noon, country time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today, and as you know, I'd like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you, and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the Word of God, the Word of Yahuwah and His Son, Yahushua. Today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we are continuing with really an introduction to our next series. We're talking about universal DNA, or corporate Diakonia. So this is part two, where we're laying down the 10 ideals, the 10 obstacles, the 10 prerequisites that must be understood in order for you to tune in to the series that starts this. Now, this series, again, that starts this Saturday, the title of the series, again, the working title of the series, got a lot of different titles, but the working title is basically the metaphysics of your corporate DNA, or universal DNA, or how corporate DNA, how to connect with God with your corporate DNA, how to connect with God with God's DNA, how to connect with God with universal DNA, how to connect with God with universal diakonia, how to connect with God with your corporate diakonia. That starts this Saturday. Cost of the series is $100. Again, you can go to the website at masterteacher33.com. Click on the link that says donation. Make that $100 donation today. With this series, no discounts or anything. Everybody, $100, regardless of whether you listen to anything before, whether you do early registration, late registration. This series, again, that there won't be any tag-along listeners. This series is too important because this series we break down one of the most important things in the Bible, which is a cubit, C-U-B-I-T-S. The Bible talks about 144 cubits. It talks about one cubit. We mentioned that in part one. So the first thing that we have to over and understand that I mentioned in part one is all religions are man-made. Now, I didn't say spirituality is man-made. I said religion is man-made. Now, religion is traditions, man-made traditions. Spirituality is God. Spirituality is a universal oneness. It's universal act oneness, universal atonement. So the universe and the Bible are written in a language that explains, that illuminates, explains, and exposes immutable laws. These immutable laws affect everyone. They're universal. These laws are the same laws of nuclear physics. That's what I'm going to share during this series. So we're going to break down these laws. Now, we talked about the fact that, again, as we mentioned in part one of yesterday's show, Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. The Bible says whatever's happening now happened before. We talked about the pre-Christian era. This is really important. And we talked about how all of the man-made traditions was taken from the Library of Alexandria. We're going to break it down during the series. We talked about in Luke 11:51 where it says, woe to you lawyers, you've taken away the key of knowledge. We talked about the fact that all world religions have the same thread or string. There's a chronological order to them, and we're going to break that down. We're going to break that down beyond a shadow of a doubt. I will prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now, today's show, we wanted to pick up with part one of yesterday's show, and we may start doing a evening show, like I may do a show tonight at 7, because I want to get the introduction out of the way. So the introduction to the 15 hours, it takes about 10 hours then to make just to do the introduction. What is the introduction? Prometheus. Anybody heard of Greek mythology? Well, not everybody, but we all studied. So the gift of fire that was given to Prometheus was bestowed upon him. Remember the story. Okay, let's go back. Greek mythology. One of the Titans of Greek mythology, he was kind to mankind. He was a benefactor of humanity. This Titan, again, one of the big G's in Greek mythology, he was the son of a sea nymph called Clement. Clement of Titus Timus, T-E-M-I-S. Clement of Titus Timus. Now, Prometheus had a brother. Prometheus' brother was named Epimetheus. So we have Prometheus and Epi, E-P-I, and then it's spelled Metheus. So we have P-R-O, Metheus, and E-P-I, Metheus. They was brothers. We're going to break that down during the series. What does Metheus mean? We're going to break that down. M-E-T-H-E-U-S. So Prometheus and Epimetheus. They were given the task, according to Greek mythology, of creating humanity from clay and from water. Now, who created the clay and the water? That's how you know that these are demigods. Now, remember, the God I serve doesn't need clay or water to create. Notice, brothers and sisters, we've got to break this down in the series. That's why this is so important. Because if you serve a God that needs stuff to create stuff, the call for Glator. That's the little g. So let's make sure that we understand, because somebody's going to go back and say, yo, Brother Will believes in Greek mythology. I need to lay a foundation so you can understand where I'm going when I'm talking about universal DNA and corporate DNA, the ultimate secret to eternal life. What is universal DNA and corporate DNA? Well, your corporate DNA is exactly what Jesus said. So if we don't understand the metaphysics of eternity, we're going to get caught up in a lot of he said, she said. So according to Greek mythology, these two cats were used clay and water from the earth and the winds of the earth to breathe life into the creation that they made. So according to Greek mythology, they provided not only humans, but all of the animals on the earth with the basically endowments that they needed to survive. So Epimetheus, brother of Prometheus. Now Epi, his name means afterthought. Again, very important. So Prometheus means pre-thought. Epimetheus means afterthought. Now remember, we have thought as our God. Well, at least according to the Egyptians. So T-H-O-T-H, what we have is thought. Now the Bible says in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what is a word? A word is a spoken thought, is it not? Now, again, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, not the brightest bulb in the pack. But if you tell me a word, if you open your mouth and a word come out, prior to the word leaving your lips, you had to conjure up or you had to think a thought. Now, maybe I'm the only one who does that. I don't know. Maybe I'm different. But I always have a thought, an ideal in my head before I make a thought. Now, these two guys, pro, before thought, epi, after thought. So according to the Greek mythology, these two individuals proceeded to bestow various gifts like traits, characteristics to the animals. And when it came time to create human beings, according to Greek mythology, who was supposed to be superior to all of the living creatures on earth, Epimetheus, afterthought, found that he was reckless in his endowment of creating the animals, according to Greek mythology. And so he was so embarrassed that he had a bag of goodies and he gave them out to the animals. He didn't have no goodies left to give to man to make man superior to the animals, according to Greek mythology. So man and the animals would have been made the same. But Epimetheus had a brother, Prometheus. So he went and he asked his brother for help. So Epimetheus asked Prometheus, again, whose name again means before thought or forethought. Epi means after, pro means before, metheus means thought. So I hope you're following me. Because our religion, which again is, according to some people, came from Egypt. Now, I've already done the show on the Abrahamic religions. If you haven't listened to that show, it's available here for free on Blog Talk, where both Islam and Christianity both came from Ur, history. Nothing to do with religion. Historical fact. Where was Moses' father from? Who was Moses' father? Done the research? Yeah, you might want to do the research. Who was Moses? I'm sorry, not Moses, Abraham. Who was Abraham's father? And what does the name Abraham mean? Now, I've already done the show. And if you've listened to it, you already know. So Abraham is the father of Isaac and Jacob, is he not? So Isaac and Jacob is, again, Moses said the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was his God. So the same God that told Abraham, leave your father, go, and I'm going to make you the father of many nations. He changed his name. Remember, anytime you change your name, you change your destiny. You change your DNA. So Abram became Abraham, father of many nations. So Abram, whoever the God that Abram served, is the God of Christianity and the God of Islam. Because out of Abram came both two brothers, one Islamic, the other Christian. History. Whether you believe that or not, I could care less. Totally up to you. But that's just historical fact. Now, could the history books be wrong? Absolutely. Maybe they just wrote what they want us to believe. I don't know, but there's a bunch of Islams over there who serve Allah. They believe it. We got a bunch of Christians in America who serve Jesus Christ. We believe it. So, again, like people say about the story of Willie Lynch, whether Willie Lynch actually lived or not. Well, the psychological effects of slavery and the way most black folks live their lives, the proof is in the pudding. Whether that was actually a real individual by the name of Willie Lynch, irrelevant. Because why? The fruit of the story is in, it's manifesting right now. So the proof of the story is manifesting right now. So what am I saying? One of the obstacles to understanding universal corporate DNA. Jesus says, I came that you may have life. In the garden, there was a tree of life. Everything that Jesus talks about was life. Jesus died. He said he went down to the grave. He went down there, soul. He went down to hell, and he took, what did he take? He took the keys of death and the grave. Jesus said, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Jesus defeated death. Jesus said, the same things I have done, you shall do, and even greater things. Your job, your corporate DNA is to defeat death. How you doing? Is there any death defeaters out there? I don't know nobody who walks around trying to defeat death. That's what eternal life means, brother. That's what eternal life means, sister. But who teaches you how to defeat death? Now, do we want to play or we want to be for real? Because this next series, I'm taking the gloves off. No more playing church. So, because if you're for real, then we start to get into understanding what this means. Because Prometheus, whose name means prior or forethought, his brother's name is afterthought. We got the Egyptian god thought that means the thought. So we got before, we got during, we got after, we got past, present, and future tense, all in different religions. So Prometheus took over the task of creation to make humans according to the Greek mythology. Now, I'm not telling you this is what I believe. I'm just reading you Greek mythology. This is history. So he took over and he made humans superior to the animals. He fashioned them in a noble manner, and he enabled them to walk upright. This is what Prometheus did. And then he brought forth what is known in the occult as the Kundalini. What is talked about in the Greek mythology is liquid fire of the gods. And he put liquid fire of the gods into the human beings. We call it the Holy Spirit, the Ruach. You hear the song, fire, fire shut up in my bones? Where did it get that from? Greek mythology. Where did Greek mythology get that from? Now, remember, we talk about pre-Christian era, before Christ. 5,000 years, well, maybe not 5,000 years, but 3,000 years before Christ. So let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. So according to Greek mythology, the gift of fire, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Ruach, the gift of, again, corporate DNA, was bestowed upon the human beings or humanity by Prometheus. And from this liquid fire, where did Prometheus get the liquid fire? According to the Greeks, from the blazing sun, which was what? Nuclear, which was what? New clay. And so the milk and honey or the manna is called ambrosia. Ambrosia. A-M-B-R-O-S-I-A. Ambrosia is the food of the gods. Milk and manna. Manna and milk. Now, that is what we call the Milky Way. Now, I'm going to break down it a little further when we get into it during the series. This is just the intro. And then Prometheus says, and he shall eat the fire of the liquid fire and manna, and he shall not never die. Thus he shall become like one of us. Remember the story in the garden where the devil tempted Adam and Eve and said, hey, if you do this, you will be like us, knowing good and evil? Well, Prometheus says that after he gave mankind liquid fire, he became like one of them. Man was immortal, according to the Greeks. Man was immortal, according to the Helios Biblia, until what? The original sin. So what was the original sin in the Greek mythology? Because what was the original sin in Christianity? We ate the apple. Adam, the Garden of Adam and Eve, and then they fell. They fell from immortality into mortality. Because of what? Sin. But because of the actions of Prometheus basically pissed off the god Zeus. Because why? Prometheus wasn't supposed to give humanity liquid fire. But he did anyway. And so human beings, mankind, basically became a little higher than the animals. So Prometheus, according to the Greeks, was the individual, again, that endowed mankind. Zeus was angry, so Zeus pointed out to Prometheus, and he was so angry and upset with Prometheus that Prometheus not only created humanity, he also deceived. Today's message isn't a message on Greek mythology. Today's message is about Apuleius of Tyana. The reason why I went and spent 20 minutes talking about Prometheus is because Prometheus, again, is known as, there is an individual that's attached to a rock. So Prometheus was supposedly, because of what he did, he was attached to a rock, according to the Greek mythology. And according to the Greeks, this fire is ran or carried around in a torch. That's what the Olympic flames represent today. So Prometheus had a sanctuary that had a torch lit where he was, quote unquote, buried by Zeus. Today, that Olympic, that torch that's carried during the Olympic Games, at the beginning of each, a runner lights a torch from the fire source and he runs with this. Why? This is where the tradition originated from. Where? Prometheus. So next time you watch the Olympic Games, what you're watching is Greek mythology. This is the fire that they take from the source and runs and give to all of the Olympians so that way they can, what, have fire shut up in their bones. This, again, is where the symbolism in the Bible comes from. Now, am I saying that they are one and the same? No, I'm just saying that's what the group, that's what the Greeks say. That's not what the believers, that's not what we know. So what we have to do, brothers and sisters, is we have to understand Tyana. Now, Apollyon or Apollyus of Tyana, spelled A-P-O-L-L-O-N-I-U-S, of T-Y-A-N-A. So Apollyus of Tyana was born in a city called Tyana, T-Y-A-N-A. Now, this was right before the beginning of the Christian era, or during the beginning of the Christian era, depending on who you talk to. Right after all of this Greek mythology stuff. Why am I telling you all of this? I'm explaining all of this because in the series, all of this comes into Christianity by Constantine. So Apollyonus of Tyana is what we call Paul, according to the Greeks. Now, again, prior to the Christian era, Constantine entered in or mixed in paganism because he wanted to produce a new form of Christianity. This is what is called, there's an entire video, I've already done a show, Constantine's Messiah. That's why, again, what the Cosmographer did, he muddied the waters. And so now we have Apollyus of Tyana. Again, he was from noble ancestry. He was the founder of the city of Tyana, T-Y-A-N-A. And then at the age of 14, he was taken to Tarsus or Tarsus. And he lived, just like Paul, again, there's a lot of similarities between this guy and Paul. He leaves his father, he goes hang out with his instructor. Now, you guys know, because I did the series already on Saul, and Paul. So, Apollyonus of Tyana has the exact same upbringing, the exact same thing as Paul. In fact, he traveled to Asia Minor, and then he goes around from city to city, and he begins teaching his interpretation of the Holy Scripture. We call the Bible and the New Testament. Now, a lot of people that you will come up against, especially in these latter days, who will say Paul and this guy are the same. Now, the travels of Paul in the New Testament of the Bible, they are almost identical to the travels of Apollianus of Tyana. So Apollianus or Paul or both traveled and they spread the teachings. But the teachings that they spread was contradictory to the rabbis, to the priests, to the lawyers, to the Sadducees. That is why there is this big debate. That's why there's a whole series on Paul. Why? Because Paul introduced grace. Before Paul, there was no such thing as grace. Before Paul, if you didn't keep the law, yeah, there was no way for you to get into the kingdom. Before Paul, there was no such thing as Goyims or Gentiles. So Paul is called the ambassador of the Gentiles. Now, we did the whole series on Paul. Well, Pollyannas, this guy, gal, whatever, well, I should say guy, definitely not gal. Apollyannas, again, and Paul both traveled. Some believe that, again, these two guys were the same. According to some of the Greek mythology, they were, one of them was a reincarnation of the other. Now, the reason why I'm telling you all of this is going to make sense during the series. Because I'm going to introduce some things that if you don't know the foundation, if you don't know the fact that, hey, Brother Will did mention Prometheus and Epimetheus, because we're going to talk about epigenosko, and we're going to talk about epigenetics. Because if you don't understand that word epi and where it comes from epimetheus. And if you don't understand what I'm getting ready to talk about during this series, which is prototias, it's a Greek word. Both of these words have to do with protons, neutrons, and electrons. It has to do with the ancient text Adamu, the Bible, Adam, physics or science, atom. These three are the same. Now, to the average Joe, that means nothing. To me, it means a lot. Because I understand the atomic nature of the uni one verse song. At the last sound, at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall arise. Ephesians 2. The two that are far off shall become one new man. Jesus says, when Jesus died, he rose. He said, touch me not, for I have not ascended to my Father. Jesus had a glorified body. The Bible says we don't know what we shall be, but we know we shall be like him. And so when we talk about these stories, what I am doing is I'm laying the foundations of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. This is the second obstacle to your understanding and participating in this series. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. The second coming of Christ shall not come unless it is preceded by an apostasy, and the man of sin shall be revealed, son of perdition. Now, this apostasy that everybody's talking about, what is it? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. You have to get this. This is what nobody gets. This is the hardest thing. It's just like as we're going to talk about when I mentioned the measure of a man. Know the measure of a man. It is this, 666. We're going to break that down. That's one of the obstacles you got to get over. The devil is not out there. The devil is in here. And I'm going to break it down. I'm going to show it to you biologically, and then I'm going to show it to you scripturally, and then I'm going to show it to you esoterically. And then if you don't want to believe me after that, you know, that's between you and your God. So 2 Thessalonians is talking about the great falling away, the son of perdition. Now, I'm not going to go into, again, we've got about another 5 minutes left before we wrap up today's message. There is no way I can go into the entire Greek, Hebrew, diet, and everything like I usually do. I'm going to save that for the series. Let me just tell you the obstacle that you have to get over. The apostasy is the abandonment of one's ego, one's false self, one's BS system. Now, you call it your belief system. I call it your bullshit system. It's one's cause, one's principle, one's rebellion against the Most High. We are rebels by nature. The Bible says that rebellion is at the sin of witchcraft. Let me say that again. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, I'm probably one of the most hard-headed, rebellious individuals that I know. And until total ruin of the temple takes place, the second coming of Christ shall not come. Now, that is the esoteric meaning of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Now, the outside meaning, you know, we're talking about the second coming of Christ. Okay, great. We understand that. Everybody got that down. But Jesus says, I never teach unless I teach in a parable. And he says it's for some to know. He says for you to know, but for them not to know. This is called the mist or the mystery. Now, the word mystery means mist. Mist is water. Story is a group of words put together. Now, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So one word is made up of a bunch of letters. So these letters make up words. These words make up sentences. A sentence is when you get sentenced to something, it's like a conviction. You go to prison, the judge is going to sentence you 30 years in prison. You got sentenced. These sentences, again, is why you are on this prison planet, a planet. So we got to do something. The Bible tells us, don't let anyone deceive you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Now, in conclusion, this is the hardest thing for you to wrap your brain around. I'm just introducing it today. So you should have a lot of questions. You should not believe me. You should be a little confused. That's the whole purpose of the introduction. So that way you participate in the 15-hour show. I wasn't trying to do it in 10 hours, then I went to 12, then 14. Now it looks like it comes about 15 hours before I can, in order to lay down after going over my notes and everything I have to cover in this next series. Yeah, it's going to take about 15 days or about 15 hours to go through the next series. The Bible tells me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let's read verse 2. 2 Thessalonians, we're talking about the man of sin. Who is the man of sin? We're all taught the man of sin, like the devil, is out there. The man of sin, brothers, sisters, as I will biblically, as I will scientifically, and as I will esoterically prove in the series, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's like the Bible says, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 2, that you may be quickly shaken from your composure or to be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Tomorrow we're going to continue with part two as I introduce part three. What the false you does, what the ego, what you and I do when we live our best life now, is we set ourselves up as God. I know a little bit about something about that. When you take your dream, it's called dilemma, aletheia. When you decide that you want to do what you want to do, instead of doing what Jesus said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow me. Jesus said, I'm not here to do my will, I'm here to do the will of my Father. But let me ask you the question, brother. Let me ask you the question. So did you take a couple of self-help classes like I did, and did you come up with your own dream? And did you are you promoting your own self? Are you like me? Do you got a bunch of books and tapes, and you're doing your own stuff without consulting God? Who do you think the son of perdition is, or the son of destruction is? Let me read it again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. If you're looking for the devil out there, guess what the devil is? He set up shop inside your head, inside your brain. Notice where everything takes place in the temple. Remember part one when we talked about the temple? And we said that the temple is not a building, according to the Bible. The Bible says that your body is the temple of the Ruach, the name of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is within, where? Your temple. The Bible says that God has placed his treasure inside of what? Earthen vessels, not no wood, not no brick. It's inside of your body. So the kingdom of God is inside of you. The Bible says that God has not written his laws on tablets of stone any longer, but he's written them on the hearts and the minds of his people. So if your heart and your head don't line up, you're in deep kimchi. Trust me, I know a little something about that. The Bible says, let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed. So you got to get rid of your belief system so that way the man of lawlessness can be revealed. He's the son of destruction. Why? He opposes and he exalts himself. That's what I did. Above every so-called God or object of worship so that he takes his seat in the temple of God. What's the two things you have behind your eyeballs? Behind everybody. Remember any boxers? They taught you to hit them in the temple. So you got two temples behind both of your eyeballs. Oh, we're going to break it down, brothers and sisters. So let me make sure you understand. So that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. But he ain't God. 2 Thessalonians verse 4. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? So, my brothers and my sisters, the second obstacle is your ego. This series will do you no good unless you overcome your ego. That son of destruction who has set himself up and exalted himself above everything else and every so-called object, and he set his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. So, unless apostasy comes first. Now, this is tough because apostasy means you got to question everything that you believe. That's exactly what I did. January 1st, 2009. What did I do? You guys know the story. So unless you abandon your current belief system, your political party, you know, your club, your little principles, your cause, you know, feed the whales, hug a tree, you know, whatever you are, unless you rebel against that, no matter how great it is, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. You have to rebel against the errors that have concocted, that you have concocted, that I have concocted. We must rebel against, again, like it says in Jeremiah, we have learned, we have inherited lives from our forefathers. All the stuff that we have learned has been the thing that has programmed your mind over time. The earth is one big program. How? By learning how the son of perdition set up shop. Now, tomorrow we're going to talk about the son of perdition. Everything that you do ruins your temple. How do I know? Fluoride in the water. What does it do? Ruins your temple. You know, genetically modified organisms. What does it do? Ruins your temple. Chemtrails in the air. What does it do? Ruins your temple. Perdition, brothers and sisters, is a total ruin of the temple of God, the house of God, where the Holy Spirit resides. So humanity has to learn, we have to learn how to sever this cord with death. Everything that we do leads to mortal death, which again leads to spiritual death. Matthew 12:31. Therefore I say unto you, that every kind of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, except for the sin of the blasphemy against the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. Or the Holy Spirit. It is never forgiven to man, neither in this world nor in the world to come. Tomorrow we're going to break it down, brothers and sisters, as we go into the third obstacle that we have to overcome of the three. Number one, we have to overcome man-made religions, a.k.a. tradition. Number two, we have to overcome your ego. Why is destroying your temple? Do you not know that your body is the temple? I didn't say it. That was God said. Your body is the temple of the Ruach. So because your body is being destroyed, you are basically destroying the house that holds the temple. So God can't use you if your body is broke down, busted in disgust, and say, well, Brother Will, what in the world that has to do with the body? The Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. It didn't say none, it says little. Every cell, every atom of the body, every A-T-O-M is A-D-A-M, is A-D-A-M-U. So you got to understand, brothers and sisters, and I know this is going to blow your cookies, but who is CEO of you? So who is the little g of your body? So who is God, little g? Let me just let that not even use the word God, because I want nobody walking around talking, oh, yeah, Brother Will says we're gods. So who is the control? Who controls what goes in your mouth? Who controls what goes in your eyeballs, in your ears? Doesn't you? Is there anybody got a gun to your head making you eat whatever you're eating? And your atoms, every cell in your body is waiting for you to give it what it needs to be successful. Who are you waiting for to give you what you need to be successful? So you're the little g of your body. So who's the big g of your body? So you are the microcosm of the macrocosm. But, you know, you can't tell nobody that because, again, that's science. So if you don't understand the universal DNA, you can't understand your corporate DNA. If you don't understand universal diakonia purpose, you don't understand corporate diakonia purpose. What is corporate? What did Jesus come? Let me read it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, a.k.a. eternity. That's corporate. That's your purpose. Every person on the planet, that's their purpose. But again, we got to break it down. So my brothers and my sisters, again, that concludes part two. Again, we'll do another part tonight, part three, because I got to get through these 10 parts before I can get into the series. So that way you can understand what the series is about. So again, I'll probably send another email or text. We'll probably do another show this afternoon at 6 or 7. So again, thank everybody so much. I went a little over on time, so I do apologize. Thank everybody so much for joining me on today's show. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. May the Ruach, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2.